In verse number 12 of Genesis 41, the Bible said, "And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him. And he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream, he did interpret." Now, we know who these individuals are if you're familiar with your Bible. Amen. The baker, the butler, right? Does that know what's going on here? And we know who this young man is. If we were to read and see how this young man got to where he's at, we'd say, man, he's having a rough time. The whole world's against him, his brothers, his family's against him, and it appears that even God is against him. But in all that's going on, we find out that no matter where this young man right here is at, God shines favor in his life. Amen. And in verse number 12, this young man's a Hebrew, but he is the servant to the captain of the guard. When he's in Potiphar's house, he's ruling over everything in Potiphar's house before he gets to this place. Amen. When he's at home with his father, his dad loves him more than he loves anybody else. Is that not the case? Seemingly, he has the coat of many colors. He's home. His brothers are out working. He goes into the pit. He goes from the pit to the palace, or goes from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to the prison, from the prison to the palace. You know the story. But he's a young man. In Genesis 41, verse 12, he is a young man. And I want to preach to you about young men. Collectively, and I have to do it this way tonight, and I want us to consider where we're at. What's the world saying about young men? Do you know? If you're young, what I mean by that, as a young man, we're talking about the ages of 16 to about 30. They consider you young men, 16 to 30. And so I don't know where that puts you as far as your age is concerned. There's young men, older men, and then us that's in purgatory. We're just floating around out there, amen, with no place to be. But here in the Word of God, we find out that Joseph is a young man. There's a lot said about young men in the Word of God. But when you start looking at different things about young men as far as statistics are concerned, in America, the age group is about 16 to 30. Polls seem to be the way that that we in this day and time determine facts. And so, if that is the case, if polls is the means by which we can realistically determine facts, then the future is pretty bleak for young men. When it comes to opportunity, there's never been a generation of young men that's ever lived on God's earth that has the opportunity that you young men have tonight. No young man has ever had the opportunities like you have tonight in America. There's very few, there's probably not a one of you in this building tonight, a young man, that would have to spend a lot of money at all if he wanted to go to college and pursue any kind of degree that he wanted to pursue. If you would apply yourself in school and learn and be diligent, the opportunity for you to pursue an academic education that to provide you a great livelihood is at your fingertips. If you're diligent. If you'll go through the research, I'll be honest with you, they'll pay most of you to go to school. Buy you a car. That's the truth. The opportunity avails in a major way. Yet most men that step out, and I say men, I'm talking about young men, most young men that step out into the college realm, out of school, with no direction, with no goals, with no purpose, with no support at home, without any spiritual guidance or walk with God, most of them don't make it. The dropout rate is high. You believe that? You believe it tonight? The dropout rate's high. If you don't believe that tonight, I'll have every young man that started college in this church to stand up and those that finish if you don't think the percentage is high. And I'm not talking about polling Pleasant View Baptist Church, young men. I'm talking about polling the world, but it's right here in front of us. Is it not? Sure it is. Amen. Very high. Young ladies are far more likely to start. This is what the world's saying about us, about you. I'm over 30. Young ladies are far more likely to start college and apply themselves, work hard and finish than young men are in this generation. Amen. You believe that? You think that's right? If you don't think the world's right in that polling, let's take a poll right here. Jamie, Jacqueline, Bethany, Amy, Rebecca. Bethany will be finished here for too long, maybe a year. Jessica will be finished this year, maybe another class or two after this year. Now, that's how many? That's Jamie, Jackie, Bethany, Jessica. Who else? I think Jacqueline and Rebecca Bradley. Amen. Who else? Amy Hill, Dunn, whatever y'all's names are. What is it, 7 or 8 young ladies? Am I telling it right? All right, you want to start on the hands, start counting young men? I'm just talking to you tonight, but I'm trying to get you to understand where we're at. Here, and I preached this for years, and I want to preach it to you again tonight in this setting. Save yourself from this untoward generation is what the Word of God says. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Don't be like them. Don't be a part of it. Are you listening to me? Don't allow the mindset of this world to get into your heart and in your mind and manipulate the way you are and who you are and what you are. And I'm not trying to be a motivational speaker because I'm not, but each one of us seems to realize that through the power of God that is in our heart and soul, we can rise above the influence and the wickedness and the direction that this world is going in. Are you listening? Here are the words that they use to describe you, the world. You say, well, preacher, that's not me. But I'm just telling you what the world uses collectively. Is everybody with me? What the world uses, Adam, collectively to describe you and you, Caleb, and you, Chance. And are you 30 yet, Willie? You, Willie. You, Travis. Josh, John, Joseph, Bobby, Buster. Jeremiah, all you under 30s, here's what the world, Brother Justin, uses. Here's the words the world uses to describe the way you are. Here's what they say. They say you're irresponsible. They say you're lazy. They say you have no ambition. They say you have no goals. Are they right? They say you have no drive. They say you cannot finish anything you start. They say you have no strength to shoulder responsibility. They say you cannot be depended upon. You'll say something, you'll have every intention of fulfilling that something and doing that something, but the world says you do not have what it takes to finish it. You get up late. You can't hold down a job. And you take advantage of everyone around you. That's what the world's saying about young men. Now I want to ask you something. Is that true in your life? Is that you? Is that you? I don't know where Bradley's at, but he needs to hear what I'm saying tonight. So you need to get him a tape or sit some headphones on him tonight after service. Make sure he hears every word I'm saying. Is that you, Josh? Irresponsible, show up late at work, don't care, have a don't care attitude, don't matter if the trash piles up in the house, just be told 10 or 12 times to do whatever around the house, grass grow up next, beat your giraffe, your dad's working every day, everything's going on, you don't clean your room up, you're irresponsible, you cannot be depended on. That's what the world says about you. Now, let me tell you what girls are saying about you. Young girls. We call them young ladies. You're young men. Let me talk to you about what young ladies are saying about you. Here's what they're saying. They're saying they are not men. They are immature boys with hair under their arms that don't know what they're going to do from one day to the next. That's what young ladies that get out of high school and have some resolve and purpose in their life and go to college and work and apply themselves and make good grades with a desire one day to enjoy a relationship and find someone in life to share their life with and be a part of each other and raise a family. And to their all, they can't find that individual. Waste most of their time playing video games with no ambition at all. Say, young men can't keep a job for 6 months. I wouldn't embarrass anyone here tonight, I don't think. I'm not above it. But you'd be amazed at the young men in this church tonight that is 18 years and older, that has not went to college, that has not held down a job for 6 months. It would blow your mind. That has not held down a job for 6 straight months. Work started at a place and worked there for 6 straight months. Am I telling it right, little girls? And so what's a young lady supposed to do? Let's just narrow it down. Let's get out of the world for a minute. Let's step in the church scene. What's a young lady supposed to do? A young lady that loves the Lord, has a heart for God, wants to serve Jesus, wants to share her life with someone and raise a family, looking for someone that she can utilize as a means of support in her life, being the weaker vessel. Someone that she can love and care for and be a helpmeet to. And bear children and guide the house. And raise the family and be in the house of God. Sit beside that young man. Hold his hand. Read the Bible together. Know what it means, Joseph, to pray one for another. To pray for that child when he's sick. And to pray for that little girl when she needs help from God. Here she sits. Right here tonight with a Bible in her lap. With not much hope. And it ain't just not much hope here, it's not much hope anywhere. I'm just telling you. Is that where we're at? Is that where you're going to be at, son, in a few years? You going to be there, son, in a few years? Is that where you're going to be? No purpose. No aim. No ambition, no goals. You say, preacher, is this some kind of speech or is this preaching? This is preaching. This is about young men. I think you need to know what people say about you. I'm going to tell you what, if I was a young man tonight and somebody stood up in front of me and said that these are the things that people are saying about you, I'd rise up, amen, with a banner. I'd walk up down the street and say, I'm not a young man that's lazy, that has a bad attitude, that can't get out of bed, that's not responsible. I have risen above this wicked world's mindset. Does that stir anything in you at all? Does it anger you? That would anger me, Brother Mark. I mean, it'd make me so mad I could chew nails, I'm telling you. It would disturb me inside if that's what someone was saying about my character. But that's the case around the world. Well, what's the Bible say about you? That's where we're at in the text. I've really given you the burden of my heart, but I think it's good for you to know what the Bible says about you. I'm telling you, we're in a fix. And if parents and spiritual leaders, amen, don't realize where we're at and what's going to happen in the days to come and start trying to lay out some tracks and some guidance and some direction for our young people, they're going to be in a mess. And I realize at best they're going to make choices. If they want to be worldly, they're going to be worldly. If they want to live ungodly, they're going to live ungodly. If they want to be liars, they're going to be liars. If they're going to be lazy, they're going to be lazy. If they want to be irresponsible, they're going to be irresponsible. And I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and you can be a godly and a good praying parent, but if they are bent on that, the Word of God tells us that they were stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked children in the Bible. But I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can do. And I'm serious as I can be tonight, John Taylor. I want to do everything I can, son, to make you productive spiritually and socially that I can do to help you. I have a desire. Now, I may fail you miserable, but if you'll tell me, John, if you'll tell me, Joseph, Joshua, if you'll tell me something that I can do to help you in your life, I'll do everything in my power to do it. I surely will. They're young men. Here's what the Bible says about them. The dream of Pharaoh here in this text and the famine in Egypt revolved around this chief butler and chief baker. We know that when the dream was interpreted and they went before the king, that the butler was restored and the baker was hung. And here in this story is Joseph to interpret this dream. And I thought about, and I've said this before and I'll say it again tonight, I thought about the testimony of this church and how it was established in this community for all those years. It manifested a testimony of character and godliness among the young men. I mean, people would say something to you, and they'd say, you have the most polite young men. They have a great attitude, and they work hard. And some of those young men that they said those things about are not serving the Lord tonight and are living in sin and in the world. And I believe that the devil attacked that testimony with all of my heart. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you something about young men, that this generation of young men, this group of young men need to understand that you are not, just because you've got a godly mom and dad and a preacher that preaches against sin and a Christian school background and teachers and people that are at your disposal that love you and that will do everything in the world to help you to succeed and to live for God, it's not within itself going to rise. Are you above sin and the flesh and the lust of this world? Young men, I want you to notice their maturity for just a moment tonight. The Bible says they are young. Even though they are known by their strength, they lack some things because they're considered men, but they're considered young men. Now I realize tonight, when you are at that 16, primarily 16 to 20, mid-20 age, you know everything. The reason why I know that because I knew everything when I was that age. And my dad had an 8th grade education, and he used my mother was the one who kept up the books, kept up all the money, you know, wrote all the checks, dealt with all the bills. Daddy, you know, didn't read much, and he didn't have, he'd watch the news. I don't know if I ever saw my dad read a newspaper in my life. And I thought, you know, since I've got, you know, me a high school diploma, I can read and all this, I'm bound to be smarter than Dad. But after I got older, I found out that Daddy was a whole lot smarter than I thought he was. With less than an 8th grade education. And my mother would count the money, he'd throw his billfold on the table, and I mean, it'd be a wad of money in there that'd soak a mule. He'd been out doing his business all day. Run, he had 6 or 7 liquors and run an oil business, run a store, rented houses, never had anyone working for him, done all that on his own. And he had, sometimes he would go and take, 40 oil calls in a day, plus running a liquor business, and, deliver 50, 2,500, 200 gallons of oil. And he'd throw that billfold on the table and say, "Honey, count that money for me." So she'd pull out the 1s, 10s, 5s, and 20s, just start stepping in it, rating it, counting it out, and she'd give him an amount. He said, "You better count that again. I believe you're $6 off." He's a whole lot smarter than I thought he was. And in those days of being young, I lacked some seasoning. I lacked some sense. There were some issues of stability in my life. And I needed to see some things. I desperately needed some examples in my life during those periods, during that period of time. I needed to see. I needed someone to show me what hard work would accomplish. I needed someone to show me what structure in my life could fulfill. I needed someone to show me what proper directed finances could gain. I needed someone that could show me what a devout and a holy life could satisfy in the deep part of their soul. I lacked some things as a young man, and I needed some examples. I needed to be able, Josh, I needed to be able to open my eyes up and be able to reason and see some things. Can you listen to me for just a minute? Travis, would you? I needed to see a Claude Mudd that just had an old rundown shack with a wood stove stuck in the corner no bathtub or shower in the house, just running cold water in a sink, letting it run out the backyard. Driving around in an old Toyota that's about to fall into because it's rusted. But would come to the house of God every Lord's Day clean. With a suit of clothes on. With a smile on his face. And a desire to see every young man and every young girl in this church live for God. And he was for anything and everything that the church was for. He didn't have anything that you may think you must have and desire in your life, but he had joy and peace in his soul. And you're working for it, reaching for it, and it's right in front of you. And that old man that used to sit right there. Right there. Everything you're longing for and looking for was right there in that old man who's dead and in heaven tonight. And he didn't have a thing compared to what you have. But those examples, those godly examples will never mean anything to you if you as a young man can't have enough sense to open up your eyes, Andrew, and see them. They won't mean anything to you unless you can see them. So when we talk about these young men, we have to talk about their maturity level. You're going to have to realize, and it's difficult to swallow, but you're going to have to realize you lack some maturity in a lot of ways. You may be smart. You may know more about the Bible than 10 people in this church. But there's some things that only years will teach you. Amen. They are men, but they are young men. Are you listening to me? They lack maturity. Maturity. Then let's just talk about them being a man for just a moment. And I'm just talking to you. I have a great burden for you young men. I want to see you do good. I want to see you have a nice car. But I really don't care if you drive a clunker. I want to see you live in a nice home. But it wouldn't make any difference to me if you live in a shack. You love Jesus. And you're satisfied with God. That's all that matters. Let me say, we look at their maturity, but then we consider the fact that they are men. Their direction is manly. Their desires are manly. Their dress is manly. And I could preach all this, but I'm just giving it to you. Their determination is manly. Their, listen to me, their dedication is manly. Everything about them is of the male gender. Okay? There's no effeminacy about them whatsoever. Effeminacy is a sin, by the way. You don't have to be gay to be effeminate. You don't have to be a homosexual or a sodomite to be effeminate. You're just heading that way. Amen? Effeminacy is growing woman. It's just carrying on woman. And that's the way things are. Amen. I said this, I don't know when, a long time ago. Miss Annette, she never says anything bad about anybody that I know of. But we was at Bob Jones University here maybe last year, and we were walking around that massive campus, and she said, somebody teach these fellas around here what it means to look and walk and act like men. That came from Miss Annette Custer, who never says anything negative about anybody. Amen. She said, I haven't seen a young man on this campus yet except our young men that even act like men. And I'm going to tell you something. It is the college trend, if you will. It is the thing today to look feminine. To wear feminine clothing. Hip hugger looking pants that look like I don't know what. Goofy looking shoes. Goofy looking clothes. Men, be a man. Don't let the world, don't let the sodomites of France, hey, are listening to me, and all those other places dictate to you how you're going to dress, and the way you're going to look, and how you're going to walk, and the things you're going to say. Well, that's what the women like. And I tell you what, I'd just be a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. They are men. Are you listening to me? They are men. To talk like a man. Amen. You should show yourself a man, as David told his son Solomon at his death. He said, Solomon, show yourself a man. If you're going to take this role and this responsibility, you're going to have to be a man. Are you listening? They are men. Does it bother you? Let me ask you this. And I mean, if I preach this, and I contradict my preaching when I say this, but I'm just confessing. Confessing is good for the soul, they say. And, you know, if we confess our sins one to another, amen, you know, all that kind of stuff, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, confession falls one to another, back to verse, whatever it is, James 5, 16. Does it make you nervous to have a male waiter? It bothers me. But then I'd preach against women working out in the job force. That's being a hypocrite. But it still bothers me. I guess it's just the spirit, you know, mindset. I'm looking for a woman to come and wait on me. You know, here comes some fella taking my order. It just makes me a little nervous. Especially if he's prison and got an earring or one stuck in his tongue, then I really get nervous. Are you listening? It bothers me. The reason it bothers me is I'm thinking that that is the role, because of the way I was raised, that that's the role of a lady. There's nothing wrong with a male waiter. In fact, he probably, you know, would do a phenomenal job as long as he would walk like a man. Tote the plate, the platter, bring my drink. Amen. What do you have? That's what I'm looking for. I can handle that. You know what I'm saying? That would make me nervous. Hey, Tab, what do you want for supper, buddy? What do y'all have tonight? I can't deal with that. I try to show you how they act, but I can't even act that way. They're men. We could talk about these men were mighty, these young men that Abraham took with him to rescue Lot in Genesis 14. The Bible said they were young men, but they were mighty men. I could preach to you about how that David, when he went into the valley of Elah to face Goliath, he was called a youth, a young man. He was a young man, but he slew that giant. Because you're young doesn't mean that you can't have might. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you cannot have resolve and strength and a backbone and a stand for God. Amen. 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 They're men. They're mighty men. When Joshua went in that valley, I'm telling you, he was a young man. I'm telling you, God put his hand on him. And he ministered. The Bible said that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, that young man ministered. He was a part of the work of God. He was involved with Moses. He was involved in the things of God. He had a desire to see God's will, God, in the nation of Israel. And God had his hand on that young man. And he saw Moses. And God let him lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River and possess the land. But he was a young man. He was a part of the ministry. He was a part of the work of God. He was involved in the things of God. There's more to it, boys, than setting up the tables for a meal at Sunday and cleaning up this and cleaning up that. Get the high school boys to do this. Get the junior high boys to do that. And some of you have been through that stage, amen, and come through that, and now you sit around and watch them do it. Playing ball the other night, and well, the little ones didn't get to play, you know, the Monday night ball, the older boys play, and Joseph said something, you know, you can't play, you're not old enough, or something like that. I said, I remember when you sat there and wanted to play so bad you couldn't stand it. The famous dudes. But they can minister, they can be a part of the will of God. They have a mind. Now, sometimes I wonder about it. If this wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't preach it. But young men have a brain. In Titus 2:6, the Bible said, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. He said, you exhort the young men to think clearly. Do not let anything intoxicate their thinking that would cause them to think things they should not think. He said, you exhort them to have a sober mind, a sound mind, a mind that is not influenced by anything else. A young man that can walk in a classroom and sit down while a professor teaches on evolution and sit there with a sober mind and be respectful to some degree, but all the while saying that man ain't got enough sense to get out of the shower rain. His mama should have whooped him, cut his head off when he was born, throw him in the trash can. I was pro-life when I came to this classroom. I'm talking about being sober-minded. I'm talking about having a brain that can think, that can reason, that can have faith, that can have a walk with God and not be affected by the influence of this world. Amen. Are you listening to me? Heard that speech. That was pretty good. That fellow did that speech. Was it the national or the state competition? I heard this. I believe it was. He talked about apophysis. Is that all right? What he said? You know what that is? Here's what he said. He said an apophysis is a guess. But Darwin didn't want to call it a guess. So he put that, you know, that's where that word came. It's all in that wonder world. But by faith, we understand some things to be true and fact from the Word of God. It takes a young man with a mind that can think through that. There's some things that I can just think through. Now, I'm fixing to blow your bubble right here. I'm talking about the balloon is fixing to go. Okay? Is everybody ready for all the air to, I'm talking about, completely be gone? There's a chaplain that some of you want in the White House. And the reason why you're going to vote for him is because you don't want to vote for a Mormon. But I'm going to tell you what. You'll be hard-pressed to research history and find any place in history where the Mormons done to our forefathers what Catholicism done to them. I don't care how many evangelicals are kissing his toes. And I'm not supporting the other one either. I'm not preaching support on either side. I'm not trying to drag politics in here. I'm just telling you a fact. That Catholicism, I mean the Catholicism, I'm talking about mutilated and slew untold thousands of Baptist people that believe what we believe because we would not adhere and bow. And this is something that kind of really just taught me. He had the audacity to say, I cannot afford to tithe. Somebody said he said that. I think he'd get like 2 or 3%. Whereas opponent, you know, he's throwing his 10%. He's dedicated to his religion, even though it's a cult. So he, according to the Bible, if he was a Christian, already has a curse on him. I think lost people have a curse on them that don't tithe. By the way, I think that curse applies to everybody. Not just to the saved. I think every man that, I think God will bless a lost man if he'll tithe. It rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. But that's the kind of thinking I'm talking about. You didn't give that much thought, do you?
Amen.
I'm talking about getting your mind sober. Getting it out of this little box that the media has created for you. And the world has grew for you.
Amen.
Well, the candy got licked off you. Or red got licked off the candy. Amen. Better listen to me. They have a mind. You might have to learn to think, boys. You might have to learn to realize you got a brain for a reason. Young men can be some of the wickedest people you've ever been around in your life. You can read through this Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 2. You'll read about Eli's sons. They were wicked. Mean. Ungodly. Absalom. Can you imagine what Absalom as a young man did? The integrity of his father. I could preach a lot of things. Let me give you this. They have a message. I'm skipping down. 1 John 2:13, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. Is that you, young man? That can be you. John said the word of God can abide in you and you can overcome. The word of God can abide in you. There's some things that can rest in your soul and you can overcome. Then they have a mission. Young men do. And that goes all around. I've been all over the place tonight. I realize I have. But in our verse, verse 12 of Genesis 41, Pharaoh's on his throne. He don't know anything about Joseph. He don't know anything about this dreaming young man that's in his prison house. But what there was with those two individuals, that butler and that baker, a young man. A young man, Joseph, that was where God wanted him to be, even though he did not understand all that happened to get him there. He knew for a fact in his soul that God was still working and blessing him in his life. He didn't understand the pit. But he knew that God's hand was on him because he was doing right, Chance. He did not understand the situation when he left his coat and kept his character. Amen. If you're going to keep your character, you may have to leave your coat in some places. You may have to just leave it there and run and never go back and try to get it again. He didn't understand that. He didn't understand being in the prison. But when it was all said and done, here's this young man, married now with some children. This young man that's been through all these situations that we read about in that verse, standing before the very men, his family, that sold him into slavery, with a broken heart for their condition, looking in their eyes and saying, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Young men have a purpose in this life. Young men trying to season, mature soldiers of the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be a part of a crowd in Daniel chapter 1 and rise above the influence of a Chaldean world. You're going to have to be a Daniel, a Hananiah, a Mishael, or an Azariah, or you will be a part of the statistics that I've read tonight, or should not really statistics, or you will be a part of the accusations that is made against you tonight. Irresponsible, that you cannot be depended on, always late, never finishing anything, no character, can't have a job, hold a job, don't take care of your money, don't value anything, lazy, won't work, have to be told every move to make, don't have enough sense to realize that I have daily responsibilities that I need to fulfill. Video games all day long. That's what the world's saying. Is I'm just asking you tonight. I don't know. I don't live with you. I just know what goes on at my house and what doesn't go on at my house. And I'm asking you a blunt to the point question. Are those accusations, or are they true tonight? I'm talking about no ambition, Brother Brooks. I'm talking about no purpose, no resolve, no desire, no drive. Amen. Do you know what it means to have drive, Brother Wood? It means when you have drive, it means you do not need anyone to drive you. It means I don't have you to push me. I don't need somebody standing over me, Brother Frank, to get something done. Pushing and prodding and hollering and yelling and telling me this and telling me that. It means that I have some means of drive within me, some ambition within me to accomplish something with my life, to do something with the purpose that God has put in me. Listen. Young men. I was a young man in this building tonight, and I'm not trying to have an altar full of young men. I'm just trying to tell you, if I was a young man in this world tonight, or in this building tonight, and in this world tonight, I would not want by any stretch of the imagination to be sucked in to what this world accuses you to be. I wouldn't. But that's what they're saying. I ask you again, you tell me what you need me to do to prepare you for the future. And I'll try my best to do it. I promise you I will. You tell me, you know, some parents can have a weird mindset about their children. Don't tell me my boy's lazy. Now, if you come up to me and told me I was lazy or something like that, my mother would probably bust you in the mouth. But I never was lazy. So that'd have been a lie. Because I cut the firewood, busted the kindling, busted the logs with a split maul. I was pulling cars with a wrecker. Are you listening to me? I was pulling cars with a wrecker when I was, I think, 15 years old. Is that right? Or 13? 15? I was driving a B model Mack in the backyard. I'd get it all the way up to the back fence. and driving as far as I could in the store of God just to see how many gears I could get before I come to the fence when they wasn't around. Mom and Dad was out of town one time. The city called. They had, pulled somebody over drunk or something, need somebody to come pick the car up. And I just had my permit. I didn't even have a license. And a fella come in to get a part off the car. I said, "Hey, buddy, I'll give you $10 if you'll ride to town with me." He said, "Sure." He jumped in the wreck and we rode to town. I just had a permit. Went and pulled that car out. I said, "Pray, man, Daddy come in, Mom and Daddy come in." All right, car was swung up behind that old wrecker. I thought, man, they're going to be proud. Daddy come in and said, "Where'd that come from?" I said, "I went and pulled it." "Huh." Just walked out there, said a word. You listen? Want to achieve something. Desire to do something with your life. So, preacher, I plan to do that. When are you planning to do it, young man? I mean, what did you do last week? How late did you stay and lay in the bed last week? Are you listening to me? Do you realize the dedication that you have in your life to maintain and to operate in this world and this economic condition tonight? Tyler Townsend had a second job working at Nissan, I believe. Is that not right? Nissan down in Tennessee or somewhere, and he legitimately was sick 2 nights, and they said, "Don't call us, we'll call you if we need you." Send him to the house. Some of you ain't gonna make it. You better thank God for McDonald's or Pizza Hut or somebody that's got some kind of structure, union, whatever, where you got a VA man, a AD man, an ABC man, and a FG man, an XYZ man, and every kind of man you need to keep your job. Are you listening? It's not going to put up with it. You better listen to what I'm trying to tell you tonight and get the help you need from the Lord, because you need help from the Lord. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're saved, you need to realize that as a young man, there's responsibilities that you're going to have to realize are upon you. If you don't want them, just tell me. So, preacher, I want to tell you something. I want you to just leave me alone, and I want to be a deadbeat. Okay. That's your business. If you're going to be a deadbeat, lazy, then don't come and ask me for nothing. If you don't want me, you want me to leave you alone, don't come to me when you like some little girl and want me to go to her daddy and say he's a good man. So I'm going to say he's lazy. He won't work. You'll probably have to make sure you get you a job and provide for him, because he's a deadbeat. Amen. He won't listen to anything you tell him. Amen. And if you don't think that's what I'll tell him, hide in the bushes and watch, as Mama would say. That's pretty hard. I tell you what, it better be hard in this day. It's hard days we're living in. Real hard days. Young men. Amen. And I'm preaching this tonight for the sake of some of these young ladies. Because there's some good young ladies in this building tonight, Brother James. And you know what? I don't want to see them leave here. I want to see them raise their family here and serve God. Unless some of them's going to wait for some of these little bitty ones to grow up and you know, I ain't going to say that. Brother Keith, I'm going to spare you. Amen. Amen. Y'all do what you gotta do. There's nothing wrong with it, amen. Praise God, wait around. Amen. Need the last. Amen. When I went to that wedding, helped perform that ceremony, I told them, I said, "Brother Keith passed." And we went a long ways. It was a long drive there. And I told them, I said, "We passed a lot of women coming here. But Keith was looking for a wife." And I believe that's what God gave him. Amen. So I say that, amen, in all honesty and sincerity. I'm going to tell you young ladies something. You stay faithful to God and do right and don't take the devil's, don't let the devil pick you a husband. And don't let the world pick you a husband. You stay faithful to God and have a heart for the Lord. And God will put somebody in your life and a trumpet will sound and we'll leave out of here together. But I will tell you this, young lady, I will tell you this. There's worse things in life than being what you consider in your heart and mind alone. And that, my friend, is a fact. What about it, young man? I would not be a part of this generation. I would not let this world tell me what I was going to be and the way I was going to live. I would not let this society pattern my life, or not pattern my life. I would not let this society pave the road that I'm going to walk on. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can serve God. There's mighty men, mighty young men in that Word of God that done something meaningful with their life. They overcome the wicked one. They stood against odds. They served the Lord, and God blessed them. Amen. There's so much potential here that I see get thrown out the window. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I'm not going to have an invitation, I don't think. I made some boys take some tests over the other day. Give them the same test. Give them the same opportunity. And, you know, they made, you know, 20, 30 points better than they did the first time. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, why did you do that the first time? It just don't make any sense, does it? They didn't have to study anymore. They didn't even know they were going to take it. I just said, take it again. And if you don't do at least what I, if you don't make at least a 93, which is an A, then you're going to take it again. And if you don't, you know what you're going to do? You're taking it before you eat. Maybe that's what done it. Because they took it and made hundreds. Right at it, 98 and hundreds. Amen. But it takes some grime and some ambition. So much potential. And I have seen a lot of potential thrown to the dogs of this world in the last few years. I don't want to see it happen anymore. But I can't do anything about it to tell you that there is a life of service to God and you can live for Jesus. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. And I'm done, I think. I told John. John's look at, he looks good, clean cut young man. He'd do anything I asked him to do, Brother James. Whatever I asked him to do, he'd do it. I praise the Lord for that. I lead singing, he gets up there, John's not no he's not gonna sing opera. You know, they're not gonna call him from the Southern Gospel group to sing, but he'll jump up there and wave his hand, lead singing for China. Do whatever I ask him to do. Praise the Lord for him. You know what I told him? I said, I know you think about doing something today. I said, but you, just any woman ain't gonna want a husband's gone all the time. I told Sam the same thing, Mark. Good money. There's some things better than good money. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. I said, there's things you can do with your life. Don't allow the world to make your mind up for you. Do something with your life and start right now. Not the fall of the year. Not next week, but start right now. Do it now. Because see, you've been planning on doing it for a long time, but you've done nothing with it. You can do something with your life. There's young men in this Bible that done something with their walk with God.